Hi, I'm Christy Grainer. I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast. And I'm here with John Thomas. John is the president of Streams Ministries International and a ministry partner with Dare to Believe. And we both ministries do a lot of biblical dream interpretation. Yes. We learned what we do from Streams Ministries. And so I asked John if he would interpret some dreams with us. Just one dream today. But it's kind of an interesting dream.
Yeah, it has some really good teaching points in it that I think are going to be helpful for people to have dreams. Even if this is not your dream, you're going to be able to learn something from this, I think will be really good.
Because a question I often get, and I'm sure you do too, is like, how do I know what dreams are important messages from God and what dreams are just crazy stuff and what dreams, and are all dreams from God? And the answer is no. Not all dreams are from God. So maybe you could just do a little bit of a summary of how do you know where your dream is coming from? Why is it important to know where your dream's coming from?
Yeah. Well, three basic places dreams come from, and the church has been teaching this since, I think Tertullian was the first one that wrote it down in the 3rd century. So this is historic understanding. Dreams can come from God, they can come from the enemy, and they can come from our own soul. Now, in Scripture, we have clear examples of dreams from God and clear examples of dreams from the soul. There's not really clear examples of dreams from the enemy, but they've happened. And part of the reason, I think, is why would God write down what the enemy is saying?
Yeah,
right.
True.
There's just not a place, there's not a need for that.
We don't want to capture it,
So, because of that, you want to recognize what the source is, because a dream from God is, those are going to be the most important dreams. Those are the ones that are telling us what we need to do. A dream from the soul, our own soul, it may be helpful. It might be a lie, because we can be deceived. We can think wrong things. But it might point out something that we can get healing. So if you're having a soul dream, a lot of times those are going to be the dreams that are going to let you know what needs to be healed, what needs to be dealt with in your own soul. Sometimes soul dreams are positive because your soul's in a good place and they're just showing you something that's good in your soul.
You're just processing what's in you,
it's
really.
Processing.
Yeah. Soul dream is your mind, will, emotions are
Communicating,
yeah. And talking what's gone in your life, what do you need, what are your hopes,
And then dreams from the enemy, and there's kind of two basic categories of dreams from the enemy, where we actually see what the enemy's trying to do, and then the dreams from the enemy where the enemy is trying to get us to believe something. So when we actually see what the enemy's doing, those are really good, because then we respond to God and ask God to stop it, and then ask God what it is that we're supposed to be doing that the enemy's trying to stop, so that we can start to fulfill what God wants, which is automatically going to defeat what the enemy wants. But when it is something that the enemy is trying to say, those are the ones that we want to ignore. We want to be very careful not to believe. And a lot of times they will come with a lot of emotional weight that kind of wants us to fascinate on them, to get attached to them, because that's actually part of the temptation. Mm-hmm. They feel so important, so real, but not in the clean, wholesome way that a God dream does, that's a prophetic dream. But in the, oh no, if I don't figure this out, it's going to be bad. And it's that sense of dread that comes with it that is a key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a dream when I was first starting. I was a pastor in a Lutheran church, and I was just starting to enter into this stuff with Streams Ministries. Like, okay, this prophetic. We had a lot of people in our church that were starting to operate in the prophetic, so I connect with Streams originally to learn about prophetic. I wasn't sure about that dream stuff. You know, I don't know. But I would hear enough teaching about the dream stuff. And then I had a dream myself. And it was the Lord letting me see the enemy's plan. And it was completely black and white. And I remember while I was dreaming, I was remembering some of the teaching I'd heard. It's like, oh, this is like one of those black and white dreams they talk about. Because you can be kind of lucid in a dream. And you're understanding. And you can even talk to God, I think, while you're dreaming. But in the dream, I was walking down a wooded path with trees on either side, and there was a rock in the center of the path. And as my right leg went over the rock, it turned into a snake and it bit me in the calf. And then I woke up in a hospital bed, and somebody was leaning over me saying, oh, I thought we were going to lose you, but looks like you're going to make it. And that was in the dream. I'm like, that is a weird dream. And that seemed important. So I sent it into Streams. This is a long time ago. And they said, oh, you know, thanks for sending in your dream, but we get an awful lot of dreams, so we may or may not get back to you for a long time. And we have that problem at Dare to Believe, too, is like sometimes it takes us an awfully long time to get back, but we want to attend to each dream, you know. Yeah. And so I thought, oh, okay. And then the next day I got an email from somebody else that said, hey, we saw your dream. This is important, and you're getting the Lord's warning you about the enemy's plan. You need to get your intercessors. And they kind of told me what to do. So I I grabbed the intercessors, got prayer, and I'm still here doing this stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it was the Lord allowing me to know the enemy's plan, but there was no light, no color. And that is indicative of God and emotion. Am I like color and emotion will tell you, is this from God? Is this from me? And it's a skill you learn as you interpret.
Yeah.
So we interpret hundreds and thousands of dreams, right?
And it's the difference between, like, dreams from the enemy, between a dark dream and a false dream. Like, that's a dark dream.
That's a dark dream.
That's the enemy that's, we're seeing what's going on. We're seeing what the enemy wants
to do. And it's like the Lord showing me the enemy's playbook.
Letting you see into the enemy's playbook. Then a false dream is a lie, and you don't believe a lie. And so...
And how do you know the difference?
Well... A lot of it is asking the Lord.
Yes.
And you've got to remove the soul. Because if you have a dream like that and then you get into fear, oh no, the enemy is going to take me out. Oh no, the enemy is going to take me out. You're not going to be able to discern whether or not the enemy is actually going to try to take you out or if the enemy is just trying to make you feel. And that can take you out.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got to be able to bring the soul into submission to the spirit, which is why we teach so much on spirit versus soul. How to grow your spirit, how to recognize the difference between the spirit and the soul, and bring the soul into that place of submission, and then listen to the Lord instead of listening to our soul.
And I like that because many times we're helping dreamers not, they feel the burden, like I should understand everything God's saying, and I'm going to try to understand, and it's all my job to figure this dream out. And that just drives
people.
It's a vicious cycle, it gets unhealthy. So what you said is you go to the Lord first and say, okay, Lord, tell me what I need to know about this. And to go to people then that you trust that are biblically based that interpret dreams.
Yeah.
All right, so let's listen to this dream.
Okay.
The dreamer had this in March of 2026, and... She titled it Left Behind.
Okay.
Okay. And then, again, there's another line, and it says Military Dream. So I think there's almost two titles to this.
Yeah.
Left Behind, Military Dream.
I think Military Dream actually fits this dream better.
I had this dream about the first week in March. It was all black and gray, except the red fire. I don't remember feeling or thinking anything about the dream afterwards, but now weeks later as I write it out, it makes me tear up, and I would entitle it Left Behind. I sensed that I was in the military and other military personnel were gathering on the left side of the street in my small hometown by something that resembled a food truck, but I sensed that it had military stuff in it. I knew a Marine was standing there because he had his unused blood stripes in his hands. What are unused blood stripes?
It says it right there in the parentheses.
Okay, FYI, blood stripes are the red stripes that are supposed to go down the outside seam of his trousers. Okay. I only saw his hands that held the gray stripes. I didn't see anyone else, but I sensed that there were many men milling around from every branch of the military. I sensed that I was a man also. Suddenly, everyone started walking down the street towards a store on the right side of the street with a small sign above the door that read Route 66. That's telling, Route 66.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as soon as everyone started to leave, my shoelace broke and I had to go and get a new one. By the time I got to the store, everyone had left. The clerk in the store told me they had left and pointed out to the door, so I left. It was night, and I saw a red fire that was burning in the distance. As I got closer, I saw that there was a lot of black smoke pluming from it. I went that way, but I couldn't get to it because there was a small silver metal fence in my way, so I had to go around it, and I arrived late. The superior that was in charge noticed that my uniform was clean and not soiled like everyone else's, and that was shoveling by the red fire. I got yelled at for being late. And please highlight what stood out to you. The dream was black and gray except for the red fire. The red fire stood out to me. I didn't have any emotions connected to it. I was active in the dream, but it was almost surreal.
Yeah.
Interesting dream.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a fun thing. Did you say that this is a female dreamer? But in the dream, she felt like she was a man. So, one, it's not anything that's about the person, right? But because you've got the black and white, we also know this is not something that the Lord is saying. This is something that is of the enemy. And so the whole thing, it's happening at night. That's another clue. Generally, dreams from the enemy are there. And in the dream, there's no hope. There's no solution. There is some things that actually tie back to the dreamer that actually will show something that's going on in the dreamer's soul that the enemy is trying to use. But this is not a dream where, let's say you had this dream and then you never figured out what it meant. You're not going to miss anything. Because if you just ignore this dream and go on with the Lord, you're not going to miss anything at all with this dream, because there's nothing from the Lord that's being communicated.
And you know that because the lack of light, the lack of color, the lack of hope or
Right.
good, helpful direction. And the Lord will have sometimes correction in dreams and things that
Right.
don't feel so good, but He will end with something like what where
Right.
your hope is, or a direction for you on
Yeah, there's
how to
a
correct the
solution.
problem.
There's a sense of choice. There's a sense of decision generally, or I need to is going towards something. But if we just took this dream at face value, basically what the dream is saying is that the dreamer is stuck in warfare with people that are not prepared and are not able to handle what's coming on because of stuff from their childhood, because it looked like their
Our
hometown,
childhood home.
because of stuff that from their childhood, and they have they've missed things that they weren't supposed to miss. They weren't prepared to walk out the warfare that they're
And
in.
it's the people or the dreamer?
The dreamer, because the dreamer, they ended up being late. They had to go change their shoelaces. And then they ended up being late again, so they ended up being isolated. They end up behind everybody else, and then something else happens, and now they're getting late, and their superior is angry at them, is frustrated at them, and it's this feeling of I'm behind, I'm late, I'm not
I'm in trouble
prepared.
and there's
This
shame.
is really important, but I'm not ready. And there's this thing of feeling beat up, feeling less than, feeling accused. Which the accuser likes to accuse.
Yes, he does.
So feeling accused, but the whole thing, like the one little piece that we made the comment on,
Yeah, Route
that Route
66.
66, this is the road of the flesh. This is the road of the flesh. This is the road that the enemy wants to take the dreamer's flesh on. So now knowing that, there actually is a response to the Lord. Because when you, well, one, sometimes you use the ways of the Lord to respond to what the enemy is doing. So if the enemy is wanting to get them caught up in warfare and miss what's going on and feeling behind and feeling late and getting accused, then the response of the Lord is to respond to the Lord, not to the warfare. To trust in what the Lord is doing and let the Lord set the timing. And not to rely on their own flesh and what they can learn and what they can do. And so that would be a response. That would actually be a good response for
For
anybody in the
anybody.
Christian life. So there's not really anything beneficial that we're getting from this dream, because this is what we would call a false dream. Right? It's just the enemy trying to bring hopelessness and bring that sense of shame.
Yeah, and we know that because of the hopelessness, because the lack of color and light, because of the number 66 being used, all those things, and because
Yeah.
people are hesitant, and they should be, to just say, hey, this is just a dream, I'm not going to pay attention to. You don't want to ignore what the Lord is saying, but you know it's not what the Lord is saying because of
Right.
all those things
Yeah.
combined. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the dreamer's question is, but why was the fire red when everything else was black and white? And it not everything from the enemy is black and white. Right? There can be color, but it's still at night. It's not bright light, it's not bright color, and it's just about the fires of destruction. That's what that's saying. It's that place, it's torment.
And I'd suggest that the dreamer would say, "Okay, Lord, I'm getting these dreams. I don't want to listen to the enemy, but would you give me a dream? Ask the Lord specifically, would you give me a dream to show me how to partner with you?"
Yeah.
Instead of being intimidated or lied to by the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if this is a pattern. Like if there's multiple dreams like this, then I mean, that would be a great opportunity for some inner healing, for maybe some deliverance. There's probably a reason why it's continuing. And so figuring out what that is, learning how to protect yourself in your dreams, how to consecrate your dreams to the Lord, how to consecrate your spirit to the Lord as you're going to sleep.
Can you talk to that just a little bit? How do you consecrate your dreams to the Lord?
Yeah, well, you say, "Lord, I do not want to have dreams from the enemy. I only want to have dreams for you. You gave me this gift, and so I consecrate this gift that you've given me to you, and I ask that you wouldn't let it be used except when you want to use it." And so it's a dedication. The idea of consecration really is a dedication. I'm dedicating this. Consecration, the word literally means to be set apart. I'm setting this apart for you and for you alone. And then consecrating your spirit. One of the things, I mean, I don't pray this necessarily every single night, though I've had seasons when I did, but I pray it on a regular basis as I'm going to sleep. Father, I just consecrate my spirit to you. I give you permission to do whatever you want to do with my spirit as I sleep. I just ask you to give me dreams, give me visions, give me visitations. Just speak to me any way that you want to speak. I am yours, and I surrender to you your spirit as I rest.
Yeah.
And I just
and
release
you're fully
myself.
Connecting your spirit to God's spirit then. And what you talked about before was making sure that your soul's submitted to the spirit.
Yeah.
Because and then the enemy can't get access to your soul so much. You know, it's hard. The Lord's protecting. Yeah. It's like you're covered there in your sleep.
Yeah, time. But you can do everything right, and you can still get a dream from the enemy.
Exactly. But like you're
but it's not going to be a regular thing. It's not going to be a pattern. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, would you pray for our dreamer?
Yeah, definitely. Well, Father, I'm asking that you would come and you would bring healing to anything that happened in this dreamer's childhood that would make them feel like they're stuck, that life is a battle, that they're going to be behind, that they don't have what they need to walk out what you've given, that they're going to be a disappointment to those that are in authority. Father, I'm asking that you would break those lies and you would replace them with your truth. Lord, would you cover their dreams and let them hear what you are saying? What is the truth that you have to speak over them? So I bless them and I bless their sleep in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, John. So again, I'm Christy Grainer with Dare to Believe Ministries, and I'm speaking with John Thomas from Streams Ministries International. And we encourage you to find our websites, dtbmn.org for Dare to Believe and streamsministries.com.
Yep. Nice and easy.
And you can find more about biblical dream interpretation in both those places. So blessings.